Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Imperfectionists, Strategic Mindsets for Uncertain Times, by Robert McLean and Charles Conn, narrated by Liam Gerrard. Publisher's note, the print and e-book versions of this book include visual elements. You will hear the visuals discussed and referenced in this audiobook. Introduction. Becoming an Imperfectionist. If you're an Amazon customer, chances are you've encountered household names such as Amazon Fresh, Amazon Prime, Audible, and Zappos. It's less likely that you would have noted the baby steps Amazon took to expand beyond its core business into consumer financial services. The acquisition of Text PayMe, the investment in Bill Me Later, the hiring of a team from GoPayGo, and the launch of a remote card payment device, Amazon Local Register, where modest moves that involved only small financial outlay and attracted relatively little attention at the time. They also all ended in apparent failure, with Text PayMe, rebranded Amazon WebPay, closing in 2014, Local Register withdrawing from the market in the face of competition from Square, and Bill Me Later being acquired by rival PayPal. Yet today, Amazon is a powerhouse in consumer finance, boasting a 24% user share in the United States for its pan-economy Amazon Pay service, and is positioned to develop further as a global finance player. How did the company craft success at scale from a series of pint-sized and seemingly unpromising moves? The answer is that Amazon is an imperfectionist, a concept we've developed over several decades of helping companies and non-profits, and one that we believe is vital for all organizations, big and small, striving to prosper in today's uniquely and uncertain economic environment. On the face of it, being an imperfectionist doesn't sound like a good thing. We certainly don't mean accepting things that are faulty, a common meaning of imperfection. What we do mean is tolerating ambiguity and acknowledging that certainty and perfection, however desirable they may seem, come at too high a cost for problem solvers in uncertain times. Imperfectionists step into risk, proceeding through trial and error, utilizing small moves and other tools to deepen their understanding of the nature of the game being played, and then thoughtfully move forward into uncertainty. Imperfectionism has intellectual roots in the phrase attributed to the 18th century French philosopher Voltaire, "Don't let perfect be the enemy of good." It is also resonant with the Japanese aesthetic known as wabi-sabi, which is the acceptance of imperfection and impermanence. Amazon approached the challenge of entering unfamiliar consumer finance markets through small company purchases, team hires, and partnerships. Along the way, it built valuable capabilities and assets, learned from its mistakes, and reduced the risks of later, bigger moves. It stepped into risk and laid the foundation of a large new business brick by brick, rather than using its giant balance sheet to buy a consumer finance brand or a bank. This step-by-step approach was no accident. Amazon followed the same modus operandi in commercial finance and in its creation and dominance of cloud computing, and is now doing something similar in healthcare. From very early on in Amazon's life, we knew we wanted to create a culture of builders, people who are curious, explorers. Even when they're experts, they are fresh with a beginner's mind. A builder's mentality helps us approach big, hard-to-solve opportunities with a humble conviction that success can come through iteration. Invent, launch, reinvent, relaunch, start over, rinse, repeat, again and again. They know the path to success is anything but straight. Amazon 2015 Annual Report. Many organizations are responding to today's extremely uncertain post-COVID environment by taking hasty bets, including leap-before-you-look acquisitions. Think Robert Redford and Paul Newman jumping off the cliff in the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter may fit this mold. Bank of America's disastrous $40 billion acquisition of subprime lender Countrywide Financial in 2008, which quickly turned into a legal and financial nightmare, and landed the leading U.S. bank with an estimated $51 billion in losses, is a good example of the risks of rash behavior. Other companies are succumbing to risk aversion paralysis, a mistake even more common than swashbuckling misadventure. We continue to see many management teams stuck in a wait-and-see mindset, not moving quickly enough to confront and ride the ever-shifting tide of global economic forces. Remember video retailer Blockbuster, proud owner of more than 9,000 stores, an employer of more than 84,000 people in 2004? It failed to respond to digital subscription services like Netflix, and eventually filed for bankruptcy in 2010. You can't hide from disruptive risk. Imperfectionism is an idea that stands opposed to both of these costly extremes. Between the extremes of Bet the Farm, Bank of America, and Do Nothing, Blockbuster, is a sweet spot where imperfectionists play, employing a set of strategic mindsets and problem-solving tools that master uncertainty. This book's purpose is to help business leaders and their non-profit equivalents to discover these mindsets, be more confident and creative about problem-solving in uncertain times, and be successful where others are afraid to act, or act recklessly. This book on problem-solving under uncertainty is really a book about strategy. While we believe it is sensible to develop high-level strategies based on an organization's objectives and an understanding of structural market and competitive forces, we believe that most business strategy is fantasy. Market conditions and disruptive entry are changing too quickly for armchair planning, based on certainty, to be useful. Organizations need to be nimble imperfectionists, tolerating ambiguity and weighing the odds, constantly experimenting and stepping out into risk, not moving pieces on some theoretical game board. Imperfectionism is strategy in action. The context. Massive change and uncertainty. For all of human history up to the years just before the 20th century, not much changed for most people, ever. Nearly everyone was born into the same roles as their mothers and fathers, overwhelmingly in agriculture. Thanks to fear of famine, innovation and productivity grew incredibly slowly. Our ancestors faced risk and uncertainty, to be sure, but of perennial and anticipated kinds, hunger, disease, war. Then, in the past 100 or so years, everything changed. Now we barely recognize our grandparents' lives, let alone the lives of those who went before them. Uncertainty still includes deprivation, sickness and conflict for many on the planet, but now uncertainty comes in dozens of other forms, from social media to nuclear fusion, from artificial intelligence to quantum computing. Many of these innovations are largely forces for good. Who could have imagined that disabled people could manipulate objects with their minds, or that novel mRNA vaccines could be developed in less than a year? Some innovations will reduce drudgery and make working conditions safer, but without question, most have led to a massive disruption of traditional jobs and of institutions that we once took for granted. The rate of production of new knowledge and communications is overwhelming. See Exhibit 1.1. More new information has been created since 2010 than in all of previous human history. Stop and think about that. It is impossible for even the most talented people to stay abreast of this wave. Even the polymath Newtons, Bacons and Rousseaus of our age cannot begin to keep up with the race of new knowledge and its impact on our organizations and lives. Artificial intelligence, automation, programmable biology, robotics, and other technologies are transforming every industry. The rate of disruption is overturning market leaders more quickly than ever and installing new top competitors, often from entirely outside that industry. There is not a single company in the Dow Jones Index today that was there at the inception of the index in 1885. The average lifespan of companies in the S&P 500 was 61 years in 1958. Today, it is 18. Regulators cannot hope to guide and manage the enormously powerful companies that now extend across industries and geographies, many of them spawned by winner-takes-all network economics. The speed of expansion and the scale of investment is breathtaking. Just look at the pace to $1 billion in sales for recent internet media winners. Faster and faster. See Exhibit 1.2. These disruptive technologies have a stark human as well as financial cost, destroying many of today's jobs, and not just at the manual end. Software and AI challenge everyone in the middle, as well as previously protected professions like the law, banking, medicine, dentistry, and programming. Software is eating the world, Mark Andreessen famously said, and now AI is eating software programming jobs. These technologies also create new jobs, of course, but the new roles are often inherently more fluid and less certain. As we will explain in this book, imperfectionism and its sister mindsets can provide the capability edge for individuals competing for such jobs. Most new careers didn't exist 10 years ago, and many won't exist 10 years from now. No one will do the same thing for a lifetime as our grandparents did. In this vastly more complicated world, how can we and the organisations we work for be competitive? How can we shape strategies that allow us to be successful? How can we be creative disruptors, rather than those who end up on the dust heap of the disrupted? Problem-solving toolsets and mindsets. One of the things that humans do better than artificial intelligence does is to creatively solve problems in teams. And the good news is that this should continue to be the case for some time. Today, most machine learning and AI is good at sophisticated pattern recognition, not creative or truly generative problem solving. Pattern recognition may help develop unexpected strategies in chess or Go, but these are games with little or no uncertainty, except the opponent's next move. Humans have the edge in creativity for now. No one can predict the future, but you can be ready for it if you combine a disciplined toolset for problem-solving with powerful and mutually reinforcing strategic mindsets. In our first book, Bulletproof Problem-Solving, The One Skill That Changes Everything, we presented a 7-stop toolset for structured problem-solving. For an introduction to this model, see the appendix. In this new book, we will show how imperfectionism and its sister mindsets can give you and your organisation an even bigger advantage in this topsy-turvy new world. Logically, the mindsets around problem-solving precede the toolset you employ, and are ultimately more important. The way you think about the future, how you gather and process information to make judgments to inform action, is fundamental to your success. Simply put, an imperfectionist mindset creates opportunities not available to those with conventional thinking. The term mindset has been in use since the 1930s, but has received lasting attention in the work of psychologist Carol Dweck. Her distinction between growth mindsets and fixed mindsets is insightful, but our research into problem-solving over 3 decades has allowed us to go beyond this simple dialectic and look at the mindsets that characterise nimble problem-solvers. Most dictionary definitions of mindset focus on a mental attitude or inclination, especially those that are habitual. Our working definition is different. A mindset is an orientation toward new information about future states that provides a favourable vantage point for action. In this definition, a mindset is a way of thinking that allows the risks generated by uncertainty to be managed and successful actions to be undertaken. Mindsets are not the same as positive or wishful thinking. Their power lies in the way they encourage this orientation toward the future, and in their contribution to driving better outcomes. They stand in stark contrast to the static bodies of information still taught by many educational institutions, on the assumption that we will have a single career of 4 decades or more, just as our grandparents did, rather than multiple roles across several industries. The best training for the jobs of tomorrow is creative problem-solving tools and mindsets. We have been working together on problem-solving in complex environments for 30 years, first on business and non-profit problems at McKinsey & Company, later as entrepreneurs and advisors to startups, and finally on the large-scale problems of environment and society as board members of foundations and NGOs, including as fellow regional council members at the Nature Conservancy. In the past decade, we have conducted focused research with teams at Oxford University and the University of Sydney on the mechanics and mindsets of great problem-solving. The 6 mindsets we explore and explain here are like old companions who have been on a long journey together but haven't had their names called out until now. It took the paralysing uncertainty most organisations faced in responding to COVID-19 for us to fully appreciate their value in an age of extreme and increasing uncertainty. Along the way, we encountered some remarkable and, at times, surprising examples of problem-solving, from how unschooled woodworker John Harrison cracked the longitude problem of how parson Thomas Bayes uncovered the power of conditional probability in responding to uncertain events. We wrote this book as a practical guide to help you understand, assess, and embrace risk, and to solve hard problems with creativity and boldness. In short, to allow you to harness the power of imperfectionism. To be an imperfectionist. 6 Mindsets for Problem Solving Under Uncertainty. We've already introduced imperfectionism, one of the mindsets we believe is critical for understanding and then stepping into uncertainty. Imperfectionism is also our overarching term for this set of 6 mindsets for embracing risk. Some of the other mindsets we describe, like curiosity, will be familiar. Others, like a current behaviour, less so. However, the 6 mindsets in total and in combination should allow those who adopt them to navigate the seas of unknown unknowns and to leave behind the comfort of corporate certainty, expert knowledge, historical data, and pyramid-structured presentations, most of the things we learned in university and in our early careers. That's right, we are saying that in times of rapid change, you should be curious, embrace risk, and not avoid it. You should be suspicious of experts. You should think about how to run your own experiments. You should consider ways to source ideas from entirely different fields. And you should convince your colleagues that you have the right answer with rich and visual storytelling that speaks to their values rather than to logic alone. Most companies and non-profits still assume away uncertainty. Think of all those budget forecasts and strategy documents with no mention of potential disruption from unexpected events, or deliberately constructed with a lackluster upside and downside case to focus attention on the base case. The related pathology is paralysis by uncertainty, a dogged attachment to business as usual, waiting for the certainty that never comes. In both cases, organisations are unprepared for disruptive new entrants and fresh sources of competition. Warren Buffett tells us to be fearful when others are greedy, and greedy when others are fearful. But most of us go along with the herd, and then get picked off by the lions. Combing through our research spanning hundreds of problem types, we have distilled 6 mindsets that will help you avoid this fate. Let's take a look at them. See Exhibit 1.3. Ever curious. Young children still learning the patterns of the world are relentless askers of the question why. Unfortunately, as we get older and solve basic problems like how to tie a shoelace, we rein in our curiosity. Pattern seekers in youth, we become pattern imposers in later life as we become more certain that we know the answer to everything. Recognising patterns is useful in many circumstances. Driver, curve coming up, slow down. But it is deadly for problem solving in situations of high uncertainty. Why? Because we often get the pattern wrong when things are changing quickly. We assume, for example, that a strategy that has always worked will continue to work. Charles ran a startup online city guide company called City Search in the 1990s. The company was up against century-old dominant newspapers. They had survived the entry of radio and television, and they knew they would survive this upstart internet thing. They knew the basis of media competition: hire brilliant writers and create wonderful content, build readership, and dominate local advertising. But in actual fact, the basis of competition in local media were changing, and changing fast. The internet allowed users to generate their own content and share it with each other, and with a variety and creativity that could never be matched in broadsheet print. Worse, thanks to superior searching and matching, valuable classified advertising for cars, jobs, homes, and personal ads actually works better online. Newspapers produced remarkable content and had rich advertising franchises. They likely could have been effective competitors in the new world had they been more curious about the internet and about how local media strategies would have to change. On the whole, they weren't. With falling readership and declining advertising revenues, editorial staffs were slashed, leading to a further downward spiral in readership and economics. Today, only a small set of newspapers are vibrant businesses. Curiosity is an essential orientation for problem-solving in uncertain times. Managers must be able to suspend their natural pattern recognition impulses long enough to see evolving challenges in a fresh light, especially when uncertainty is not just about known patterns. It will rain, it will not rain, but instead is governed by entirely novel events. When great problem solvers seek to close the gap between what they know and what they need to know, curiosity reduces uncertainty. That may strike some readers as counterintuitive, particularly in uncertain times. Wouldn't it be better to bridle curiosity and try to moor in certainty? In our experience, such a recipe is likely to be steamrolled by change. Dragonfly Eye. Our pattern-imposing brains evolved in a dangerous world where quick decisions were required to stay alive. Rustling leaves triggered rapid pattern recognition. Predator, run. But dangers 4 million years ago only came in a few varieties. With massive changes in technology, there is now a kaleidoscope of possibilities. In this new environment, there is huge value in testing several different perspectives on each problem, rather than assuming it is business as usual. We call this mindset the dragonfly eye, a term we first learned from Philip Tetlock and Dan Gardner's work on superforecasters. Dragonflies have huge compound eyes, with hundreds of lenses that are sensitive to different wavelengths of light. We do not know exactly how their insect brains process all this visual information, but we do know that they gather much more data than our human eyes, perceiving colours and movements unseen by us. By analogy, when faced with new and uncertain information, great problem solvers try on several different lenses in an effort to understand the problem. They zoom in and then zoom out, or widen the aperture to make sure they are seeing the real structure in front of them, and are not imposing an old solution or addressing its surface. Take Peloton, a home exercise company started by one of Charles's former CitySearch colleagues, John Foley. The company has recently experienced major post-pandemic growing pains, to be sure, but it was by viewing the home exercise market through an entirely different lens than other people that Foley gained the insight that led to him starting this fresh and exciting business. Historically, the aim of most home gym equipment companies has been to bring outside exercise inside, say by propping up a bike to make it stationary, or creating a treadmill to simulate outdoor running. Foley saw it differently. He realized people wanted to recreate not just the movements of exercise outside the home, but the whole social environment of exercise classes, led by inspirational trainers. No one had seen home exercise through this lens before, leading to the introduction of a remote participation in exercise classes via streaming media and a $50 billion company valuation at one point during the pandemic. We have been curious about the rise in obesity, a substantial human health crisis in many countries that has all the characteristics of a wicked problem, complex reinforcing causality. For some, obesity is simple, too many calories in, too few out, leading to public health interventions like the banning of large-sized sugary soft drinks, as Michael Bloomberg tried to do while he was mayor of New York City. We know those kinds of interventions don't work, so a few years ago we worked with a group of students in Oxford to develop alternative perspectives using multiple regression analysis across cities. The exercise confirmed what social scientists have suspected for some time. Income and other social determinants have a huge impact on obesity. Later, a Bayesian analysis by a multifaceted team sponsored by the Paul Ramsay Foundation in Australia showed that the strongest determinants of obesity were related to social disadvantage, and in particular, to the level of schooling of the mother. As a result of what was learned looking through this lens, public policy has now the challenge of keeping lower-income girls in school longer. The point of this mindset is to see beyond the familiar tropes into which our pattern-recognizing brains want to assemble perceptions. By changing the lens, or widening the aperture, we can identify threats or opportunities beyond the periphery of our conventional vision. Occurrent behavior. Occurrent behavior is an odd term, but we like it. It means watching what actually happens in a time and place, not what was desired or predicted. Great problem solvers go beyond conventional historical data to explore whether they can observe new evidence about a problem, sometimes by running experiments to test hypotheses, or where that isn't possible, by looking for natural experiments. If we don't gather new data, as Canadian media theorist Marshall McLuhan said, we are driving into the future using only our rearview mirror. The internet has made this kind of direct, current experimentation easier for many organizations. A-B testing is now a standard way to assess any new product launch or promotion. By partitioning your online audience into two or more segments with otherwise similar characteristics, and then testing different versions of the new product or promotion on each, you can draw lessons from the responses. Airtasker, an Australian online company that allows online users to outsource everyday tasks, tested 5 versions of a booking fee before implementing one that immediately generated a huge revenue gain. 6 months later, it ran a trial featuring an even higher booking fee, immediately learning that a clear price-volume threshold existed, their revenue went down, and confirming the original choice. Although it is harder and more expensive to do this sort of testing in physical product markets, it's possible and often worthwhile. Patagonia, for example, works with professional athletes to gather data on new products, tweaking and perfecting them before launch. The approach led to significant changes ahead of the launch of new mountain biking shorts. Sometimes the company releases a product in a small market to gather additional data before offering it across their whole network. Clever companies analyse lots of new data before making expensive, irreversible decisions. Sometimes it isn't possible to construct new tests because it would be unethical for one of the control groups. Then good problem solvers look for natural experiments, where similar groups get different solutions for other reasons, such as from different administrations in twin cities or similar countries. Alternative medications, treatment policies, and pandemic control measures have created a large number of natural experiments in the past two pandemic years. Neighbouring Sweden and Norway, for instance, which have similar population demographics, followed different pandemic control policies, which led to substantially different mortality outcomes. The occurrent behaviour mindset, underpinned intellectually by the insights of Thomas Bayes, an 18th-century statistician and clergyman, is best thought of as a willingness to experiment relentlessly via conscious trial and error, and to use that new information to update prior understanding. This mindset is in short supply in many organisations, often because managers are fearful of looking stupid for changing strategies. Collective intelligence. Bill Joy, one of the founders of Sun Microsystems, once observed that the smartest people are usually working for someone else. His solution was to find ways to have these clever people labour in his garden. Open source software development is a brilliant way to get the smartest folks to work on a common problem, and this was the heart of the development of Unix, the core programming architecture that is now found in almost every commercial software solution. Those with a collective intelligence mindset accept that it's unlikely that the best people to solve a problem for their organisation can be found solely inside its four walls. The conventional response is often to hire an expert, and on the surface that makes sense. The expert consulting model is one we are very familiar with, and it made a lot of sense in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s for sectors with relatively stable players and core technologies such as big steel, big mining, and other traditional industries. In these cases, it was relatively straightforward to improve performance by learning from experts who had helped achieve cost reductions or make capital investment more efficient at another site. All that goes out the window when technological change accelerates and industries are rocked by disruptive entrants, as is true in almost every field today, including heavy industry. Even as long ago as 1968, Nucor Steel put the rest of the US steel industry on the back foot with the introduction of its new electric arc furnace, fed by iron and steel scrap. Industry incumbents who relied too heavily on experts schooled in the integrated iron and steel industry ended up fighting and losing the last war. Clever organisations now cast their nets more broadly, involving people with diverse skills who may never have thought about their business. For example, the Nature Conservancy, TNC, turned to crowdsourcing firm Kaggle in its search for a machine learning algorithm to identify fish catch species and quantities on fishing boats. By offering a prize of $150,000 for the best solution, it attracted entries from 2,293 teams from all over the world. TNC now uses the winning algorithm to protect endangered Pacific tuna and other species. Sometimes collective intelligence requires going back to the future. With climate change leading to unprecedented fire management challenges in many countries, resource agency officials are now tapping into the traditional knowledge of indigenous populations, who coexisted with and harnessed fire for thousands of generations before modern technical fire management. This collective ancestral wisdom, long ignored, is now changing practices across a number of countries with similar savanna grasslands. The collective intelligence mindset is a close sister to the multiple lens-seeking dragonfly eye mindset. It compels us to look for creative solutions to fast-moving problems from a diverse range of sources outside our organisation. Imperfectionism. When we think of greater problem solvers, many of us picture a brilliant engineer, a confident mastermind who knows what they are doing and approaches the challenge with determined precision. The reality is that good problem solving under uncertainty requires assessing the odds through trial and error. It's more like the unruly flow of a rugby game than linear programming.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?